You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 40 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate. And before I even get to the summary of this chapter, I want to go to reader comment from Dominique, who says, chapter 40, 3 exclamation marks, I want to scream.
That really made my morning.
Yeah. And it's about sums up the chapter, which is jumping forward to after the war, to an almost sort of like an archivist's perspective on things, noting that after the war dossier was found in the archives of the Gestapo, which noted that which related to the investigation of an underground organization in the concentration camps, and that all members of this particular group had been executed and burnt. And the first name on the list is Mostovskoyes. And it is impossible to ascertain the name of the provocateur who betrayed his comrades, the text says. Probably he was executed by the Gestapo together with the men he betrayed. That's chapter 40. And first of all, let's all give Matt a round of applause for managing to write a post about, I think you said about 9 sentences.
Nine lines.
That's right.
Fewer sentences, I think, than that.
Right.
Yes. I had more. I could have done more, but I stopped myself.
You held yourself back. You decided to check your PhD training.
Right. Well, I do think it's interesting because with all of these chapters in such a long novel, they really do have a particular pace to how they are laid out. And so when you get one that's really short, like suspiciously short, you really do have to stop and ask why, what purpose does it serve? Why does Grossman do this? You know, kind of same for the longer ones to some degree, but I think that, I don't know. Those are a little more self-explanatory in the sense that oftentimes there's just more that happens in those chapters, whereas this, it's a real deliberate punctuation of a certain action.
Yeah, it's a real hard stop. And I think there's, for such a short chapter, there are actually a couple avenues of things to consider here.
Are there?
I do. When I'm approaching this, I think what might be your initial inclination as you read that final line, final two lines, I should say, you know, it's impossible to tell who the provocateur was. And maybe your instinct there is to figure out, look back and say, who could it have been? But I don't think that's the point. I think at this moment here, one thing we can understand is there are those who this underground organization felt were a threat to it. Namely Yershov, who was put out possibly even before he knew there was a larger unit, you know, involved in this than he was planning for. And that was what this underground unit was worried about. However, it's not who they should have been worried about, whoever it is they should have been worried about, because that's not who ended up betraying them and leading to all of their deaths. Perhaps a commentary on how the party saw its enemies and its internecine conflicts overriding actual dangers.
Right. I think that's true. It's not really a whodunit by any means. It doesn't really matter. There were a lot of people that were involved and knew what was going on in this case. And I mean, it's also, I guess it does kind of imply that there was a betrayer of some sorts here, but you know, theoretically in other cases it's also possible that it was just noticed by the prison guards, right? I mean, everyone was under such close observation that it could have been possible to discern that something was going on. And in our case here, it is just this overwhelming sense of paranoia just really served no useful function for them.
Right. So when it better goes to yes,
it just kind of feels like everyone was so worked up over what was basically nothing because they weren't able to identify who was going to turn them in.
Right, or at the very least, a misapplied sense of paranoia.
right. Yeah, I mean, of course, there's going to be some sense of paranoia because just look at the situation there, and of course, how could you not be? Mm. paranoid. But
Yeah, for sure. And I think another thing that kind of interests me about this theoretical provocateur, the betrayer, is in the context of the coming chapters where we start to reflect more on some of the other staff in the crematoria, in the gas chambers as well. And in this case, we have not only guards, German guards, but also prisoners who themselves have decided to work or have been forced to work or have accepted working in the gas chambers. And I think that bookended against the last chapter with Ikonnikov's death, refusing to even build the gas chambers, compared to someone who decides, okay, yes, I will, in order to survive, work in the gas chamber. We have a sliding scale of morality between absolute hard stop, this is my line, versus I'll do what it takes to stay alive. And I think we've got this interesting middle ground where you've got this betrayer, and who can say whatever is the reason? There could be any number of reasons. It doesn't actually matter what the reason is. The thing is that there was a reason, anything from duress to maybe apparent gain. And I think maybe this can be read in the commentary of also within the context that these camps and these states put people under, these sort of compromises they may be willing to make, which, as the chapter, supposes, perhaps brings them nothing in the end, if indeed there was anything to be gained at all.
well, almost certainly brings them nothing.
Yeah. In
I
this case,
mean,
yeah. Yeah. This
yeah.
case probably executed everyone else. So,
Right.
yeah, that's what interests me most about this chapter. I don't, of course, you touched on the question of freedom, the existence of the ability to assert one's own, morality. In this case, from Ikonnikov to I'm going to assert my morality to these underground units of we are going to assert our morality by surviving in order to fight on.
Yeah,
And
it's
I think it's
kind
an
of
interesting question.
difficult to for me to parse really, and that I don't really know exactly where Grossman goes with it. Like, is one of them better? Is one of them the model for what he thinks we should all be doing? Or do they, and what's probably most likely is, do they both have kind of some pitfalls that can be critiqued? And I think that's probably the case. And I would say in both of those cases, though of course the outcome is tragic, there is something that is maybe to be gleaned from it. And the only positive that I could quite kind of take away from it is just that in these brief moments that you're still able to reassert your own humanity, that kernel of freedom, it still exists, even if it doesn't result in something productive specifically, even if your one action doesn't result in something specifically productive or fruitful, maybe you could say, but just that sort of that existence, that's what doesn't let humanity completely wither away and die. And I think that while we only have access to some of the very many stories that existed from this time period, I think that what Grossman is maybe trying to get at is that kernel is spread across everybody basically who is taken prisoner, and so maybe one of them does get through, and there is more resistance to be had that may end up being successful. But I think the challenge is that he's focusing on these instances where overwhelmingly it's not, and so to glean positives and to glean sort of like models for what we should do, I'm not sure that that's this kind of book, which
Right.
is hard.
It's not the age of we figured out the solution. It's the age of we figured out ways to survive. So maybe we can
Right, but
measure
that's what's so
those.
hard because when you write a novel, the whole point, like the whole form of it is supposed to be we figured something out.
Yeah.
That's like the kind of the gist of the whole 19th century novel, or at least in the Russian tradition, it's Tolstoy coming down and saying, you know what? Just don't talk to your wife, but do dishes. That'll make you happy. but that's not at all what is in this book.
Yeah.
And th there are just such a large number of questions that I love to think about.
Yeah. That's why in Tolstoy's novels, you have a rough Tolstoy avatar who eventually finds his way to the truth. And in Grossman's novel, we've got a rough Grossman avatar who destroys his own life and is unable to stop himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic. But anywho.
That's a gross man.
That's the gross man for you.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I think that's sounds like it's all we had to cover in today's episode. Went longer than maybe we were expecting for so few lines.
Surprise. That's what Surprise. We do best.
Never strain it all the time. Mm-hmm. But in that case, I think you will all hear from us again on many of these topics we've been talking about soon.